That scripture from Luke can come across as pretty odd. Corey and I were talking about it just a little bit this week, and Corey pointed out that Jesus comes across real harsh in there. Let the dead bury their own dead. You can't go back and say goodbye to your family. It just seems harsh. And as I was looking through it and thinking and trying to figure out what is going on, now there are some really intentional kind of cultural things that are happening there. Jesus is pushing against some of those normal expectations. I'm probably not going to explain all of those. I think this is the main point. It might help to understand where we are in the story of the Gospel of Luke. So in the story of the Gospel of Luke happens in kind of two halves. The first half, Jesus is up in the north of the country, in and around the Sea of Galilee. Then he goes up onto a mountain and is transfigured, the transfiguration. He comes down from the mountain and then starts marching to Jerusalem, where he ends up being killed. Okay, so the second half is that march to Jerusalem and then getting killed. This is the transition story. Jesus has just come off the mountain, and this passage starts out, he turned his face toward Jerusalem. And then we get this stuff. So I think the basic point at the bottom of it all is simply this idea that Jesus wants us to do the hard thing, not the easy thing. That there's a call to us to do what is difficult and right, not what is easy. Some of you may have read something similar. Like, this isn't necessarily Christian wisdom. It's part of Christianity, but lots of things have this wisdom. Do the hard thing, not the easy thing. Anybody can say that. Anybody can say that. And it's true, no matter who says it, it's true. One of the great pieces of wisdom literature in our current culture says it this way. Dark times lie ahead of us, and there will be a time when we must choose between what is easy and what is right. From Albus Dumbledore. So this isn't necessarily like inherently Christian wisdom. But there are some things about this particular story that we can think about that will make it and help us to see how this is uniquely Christian. So as I was reading through the passage, I found several mistakes that people make regarding Jesus. And the mistakes they make, I think, reveal some of the ways that we're tempted to the easy way, instead of the hard way. And this is how I want to frame that, is in the idea of following scripts. So this is the basic idea that I'm going to be working with, is that in the world there are scripts that are written for us. Ways of behaving, ways of thinking, ways of doing, ways of inhabiting the world that are normal, natural, easy, the default setting. It's the script. It's what you fall into and just do. And so as I was reading through the story, I was picking up these mistakes people were making, and I was thinking about the script that made it easy to fall into that pattern. And so we're going to examine several of those, and I think it will help push us forward. So, the first failure was that the people, some people failed to welcome Jesus. It was a failure of hospitality. Now, this gets into some of the ethnic differences that were in Jesus' culture at the time. Jesus was a Galilean in the north. Slightly to the south was an area called Samaria, where there were Samaritans. Further south, there were Judeans in and around Jerusalem. These three groups were all Jewish on some level, But they didn't really like each other. And the Samaritans were especially hated by the main other groups. And so when Jesus is setting his face to go to Jerusalem, he goes intentionally through Samaria, where most Galileans would have skirted around it because they didn't like those people. They didn't like each other. So Jesus is coming into Samaria, and there is a failure of hospitality on the Samaritans' part. And they don't welcome Jesus. And that's the failure. And it's because Jesus is odd. He's a Galilean. He's one of those Jerusalem kind of Jews. He worships wrong. He probably talks funny. And it's easier, it's easier and better to hang out with people like me. It's the echo chamber thing that we get going. We want to hang out and listen to and be with people who are just like me. And the Samaritans failed in that, and by failing in that, they failed to welcome the foreigner Jesus into their land. And so those are cautions to us. So I'm going to say a lot of stuff in this sermon. There may be little things along the way that you need to pick up. If I say something you need to pick up, hang on to it. And then you can ignore everything else, and that's fine. There's going to be a lot of little tidbits, and it's fine if you're just going to grab one or two of them. But that's the first one, the failure to welcome Jesus. The second failure, and that's because Jesus doesn't fit the script of tribalism. We fall into that with nationalism and political affiliations and anything like that, where our people are the right ones and everybody else is an enemy. So Jesus doesn't fit that, and they fail to welcome him. Second one was a failure to understand Jesus. And this one happens on the count of the disciples. And this one is particularly interesting. As the time approached, Jesus was to be taken up into heaven. In other words, when he was going to die and then rise and then ascend, he determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of them. Along the way, they entered Samaritan villages to prepare his arrival. The Samaritan villagers refused to welcome him because he was determined to go to Jerusalem. That's the one I just mentioned. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" And you're like, where did that come from? That is so bizarre. Well, it's a script that you don't know of because you don't know the book of 2 Kings very well. We were reading some of the Elijah stories, and one of the Elijah stories is the script that says, when Samaritans are jerks, God consumes them with fire. And it's right here. It says this. So Elijah is having this conflict with the powers of the time because there's always that issue. And these happen to be Samaritans, and they're in Samaria. And Elijah said to them, "If I am really a man of God, may fire come down from the sky and burn you up and your 50 soldiers." Then God's fire came down from the sky and burned up the commander and his 50 soldiers. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Blech. I mean, thanks be to God, but man, what a gross story. And this is the deal. The disciples wanted to live into the Old Testament script. And in doing so, they misunderstood Jesus. They misunderstood God. They thought that God was a God of vengeance and fire from heaven and destroy the enemies. And Jesus talks to them sternly and sets them right. We fail to understand God when we try to understand God through the lens of stories like fire from heaven, instead of through stories like Jesus dies on the cross. It's important for us to find ourselves in the right story. And that's what I'm going to end up inviting us to as we go along, that there is a script that God wants to give us that I want us to follow, at any rate. Jesus doesn't fit the script of redemptive violence that pops its ugly head up over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the scriptures. That kind of, for some of you, may open up a can of worms, and you're saying to yourselves, what, do we not trust some of what the Bible says? And I want to say to you, yes, don't necessarily just trust some of what the Bible says. You must look at all of the scripture through the lens of Christ. If you don't, you'll get the wrong script. Start, what makes us Christians is that we start with Jesus and then move out from there. We have to understand those Elijah stories and other ones like it through the lens of Christ, and this gives us a good, clear picture. The disciples say, should we live into the script we're used to, where you consume enemies with fire? And Jesus corrects them sternly and says, no, that is in fact not my way. And so we need to go back and re-understand some of those stories through Jesus. And this is one of the places that that becomes very clear. There's more than just that, but this is one of them. Another failure was a failure to recognize the boundaries of who God's people are. And this is the Samaritan. So the Samaritans didn't think that Jerusalem was the right place to worship, and the other Jews thought the Samaritans were crazy for thinking that. And they drew lines about who is in and who is out. I'm a real Jew, you're not a real Jew, and they both said the same thing. And so there's this failure of drawing lines and declaring who is God's people, who is in and who's out. And I want to say that the script that we are tempted to follow is kind of the typical American evangelical script of exclusion and just judgment and condemnation, where the biggest voice in America, religiously speaking, seems to be this American evangelical voice that expels churches and pastors when they're too welcoming, that says, you people, whoever that might be, you can't be part of the kingdom of God. You can't be God's people. That's the script, and it's easy to fall into that. And I want to say to us that God is calling us to a different script. And that's, I think that's a part of the thing in this story. And I talk about that all the time. They fail to adopt the ways of the kingdom of God. It's easier just to live within their own cultural expectations and norms. And I want to say that Jesus doesn't follow the script of our whatever culture we're in. So this thing about burying your dead and going back and saying goodbye, those things that are in the scripture, those are all tied to really specific cultural expectations in the day. And Jesus is breaking those. He's not trying to be harsh. I think he's just saying, if you're going to follow me, there's a different way of life, and you can't just fall into the old normal patterns. We're getting toward my main point. And that's that to follow Jesus is an invitation to a different kind of life. And we can't look to almost anything else and find that except to look to Jesus. We can't look to the church. We can't look to denominations. We can't look to political parties. But that's really all we know. And so this is a difficult thing I'm calling us to. It's a difficult thing that I'm calling us to. And this is where it all ends up, is that there's a failure on the part of people to actually follow Jesus. Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem, which in this passage means I'm going to the cross, where I'm going to be persecuted and tortured and killed and die. And Jesus' invitation, and it says it beautifully, then Jesus says to someone else, follow me. And he's going to Jerusalem to die, and he says to people, follow me. And people say, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, I don't think you know what you're talking about. And the invitation is to follow me. Jesus doesn't fit the script of kind of pop psychology, that the only thing that matters is your health and wealth and well-being. Be happy. Be rich. Be satisfied. Do whatever it takes to get there. And that's the thing that screams at us. That is the script that is written for us. You be happy. And what Jesus says is, I'm going to Jerusalem, and it's not going to be happy. It's going to be bad. But in an ironic way, good and beautiful. But it's suffering that gets you there. And Jesus is saying to someone else, follow me, and I don't think that's supposed to be theoretical. I think when we read that, Jesus says to someone else, you, Jesus says to you and to me, follow me. There's this really great Christian legend. It's actually written down in what we call an apocryphal gospel. So there was lots of Christians who wrote stories and stuff, and the best of the best became what the New Testament is, and the goofy ones kind of stayed in the back shelf. One of those stories, though, is worth reading, and it's almost certainly just a legend, but it's a great story. Our friend Jad Levi, who some of you know, he's preached here before. His wife Jamie Levi is also a pastor. She preaches here often. In fact, she's going to preach a couple times this summer. Jad has a tattoo. He has a tattoo problem. Anybody relate? Yeah. He has a tattoo on his arm right here that says in Latin, Quo Vadis, Quo Vadis. And that comes from this legend. This is the story. Jesus already died, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven. It's decades later, and there's the church is kind of being established. Peter is still around, and Peter, the Apostle Peter, is in Rome, and the Roman government is turning against Christians, and the Roman government is trying to find the leader of these Christians, and they're going to cut the head off the snake, so to speak, and kill Peter and try to put it into this thing. So they're looking for Peter to kill Peter. And so Peter, naturally, runs away. And he's leaving Rome. And he's on this hill on the outside of Rome, leaving Rome, fleeing because he's going to die. He meets Jesus. Now Peter is leaving Rome, and Jesus is marching the other way on the road, going toward Rome. And Peter says, where are you going, Lord? Quo Vadis, where are you going? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus says to Peter, I'm going into Rome to be crucified again. And so Peter turns around and he goes back to Rome. And he ends up being killed. Where are you going? And though Peter asks the question of Jesus, where are you going, Lord? I think that the way the story is written, that question, where are you going, is supposed to kind of echo off of that legend and come back to us as the Lord's voice. Where are you going? Where are you going? Who are you following? What are you running from? Are you hiding? Where are you going? Are you looking for only what's good for you? Where are you going? Do you think you have the answers? Do you think you know it all? Where are you going? What story are you following? Who do you think you're a part of? Where are you going? And I'm saying all these things to me. I think of that phrase all the time. Quo Vadis, where are you going? Because I want to run away. I want to hide. I want to get away from confusion and doubt. And I get so fed up with the typical church in America. three or four times a week, I just want to quit. I want to walk away. I want to leave. And I hear the Lord saying, Quo Vadis, where are you going? And so I think maybe that's true for you also. Jesus is inviting us into a different script. And it's a script that we see peppered all over the scriptures. The Galatians passage last week, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. We have these scripts that say some are better than others. No. And it's hard to live into that. Today's Galatians passage said that all of the law is summed up in this one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. The Philippians chapter 2 passage, what that icon is about in the back, God, Jesus, though he was equal with God, didn't consider it something to exploit, gave up privilege and power and prestige, and instead became a man, just a plain old human, submitting himself even to death. And that Philippians passage says, you should have the same attitude that was in Christ. That's not the normal script of self-preservation and make me happy. The other icon around the corner outside, on your, if you go out the back doors, is Mary. And it's an icon of Mary and the Magnificat, with this prayer that Mary says. This is a good example of our script. Lift up the lonely. Cast down the rich from their thrones. Like, the world of God is so different than what we're used to. It's a difficult thing. And Jesus is saying two things at once. Where are you going? And follow me. Where are you going? And follow me. What script are you following? And I really do want you to understand that I'm saying all these things to me. I hope you heard me say that at least four times a week I want to quit. I want you to hear me say, so part of my job is I'm a preacher, right? And so I preach, and that almost accidentally sounds as if I know what I'm talking about. Okay, that's just an accident. I don't know what I'm talking about. I might sound really confident up here. I have a tendency to raise my voice and sound sure of myself, and I guarantee you I am not. If it wasn't for this church, I don't know if I could go to church. If it wasn't for you people holding me up, I don't know if I could stand. I waffle between being so sure that God is good and will intervene in the world and make all things right, and being so full of doubt, I don't know if God ever intervenes. So don't let the collar and the cross and the stole and the title fool you. I don't think any of this is easy. I don't want you to think that it's certain. But I do think, and I do hear the call of Christ saying, follow me. And I'd a lot rather follow Jesus than Elijah. And it's not Elijah that says, follow me, the one with calling fire down. It's Jesus who's saying, stop talking like that. And so I think that Jesus is a worthy object to follow. And despite the uncertainty, and despite the questions, and despite the ugliness of what is called the church, there's something beautiful about Jesus. And if we look, there's a script given to us that is beautiful and hard, but beautiful. And so I feel this call. Those two questions echo in my mind. Where are you going? And Jesus saying, follow me. And so I offer those to you. I'm not going to say it's easy or sure or anything, except that somehow Jesus is good and very worth it. Lord, we come to you in prayer, full of doubt and full of faith, full of uncertainty, and grasping for hope. God, I ask that you help to fill us up, me and those who are here, those who are listening, that you would fill us up with hope when we are full of despair. God, that when we are tempted to run away and hide, that we would hear your voice shouting from the legend, where are you going? God, when we are tempted to follow the easy scripts of our world and to live in echo chambers and to live in fear and to live in anger, that we would hear you call out, follow me. And that we would realize that means not anything else but you, follow you. So God, in the midst of all this mess, this confusion, this, would you cut through it all and help us to hear your voice, somehow help us to see you and to follow you. Amen.